Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Tuesday, welcome to this bonus edition of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. On Instagram, I had somebody reach out and they said they had been listening to the show for a while and that they were getting ready to finally start their own solo podcast. And they asked if I had any advice. And normally when people ask advice, I try not to give it. I at least will normally say I can tell you what not to do. But with podcasting, you know, I've somewhere around 500-600 episodes now. I've kind of lost count, but I've at least figured out a few things that do seem to work. And so I've tried to widen the aperture a little bit because I know that many people that listen to this are interested in creative outlets. Might not be making a podcast. Maybe you're a singer-songwriter, or maybe you write poetry, or maybe you want to write a book or something along those lines. And so I've started to slowly consolidate different learning lessons that I've had from writing books and from podcasting. And, you know, I'm really still on this journey. So it's kind of like you get to look into the fish tank as I'm still in the arena trying to figure out how to make all of this stuff work, trying to make my living from, you know, essentially writing about my ideas and organizing thoughts and concepts. And, you know, at the end of the day, I do believe in the power of ideas. Like, I think that they can be a catalyst to experience the world in a radically different way. And so if you are interested, if you have been sitting on the sidelines thinking like, oh man, I would love to, you know, start my own show someday or something along those lines. And one, I would encourage you to do so, but not before maybe listening to this show as I break down a couple of things that could be super helpful, things that I did wrong maybe for a little while, and then slowly but surely have figured out more of how to find my own voice. And so that's what today will be about. This podcast is going to be about some things to consider before creative endeavors, before you set out into the unknown. And I would also like to acknowledge the fact that deciding to do something like this is it can threaten all of the ways that you've learned to make yourself feel safe, because something happens when you bring your ideas to life and you offer your creative endeavors as an offering to the public. You open yourself up to vulnerability in a way that can be really, really, really difficult to work through. I remember when I first released Burn Your Couch, my first book, I was on an airplane. I didn't tell anybody about it for 2 weeks. I didn't tell anyone I had released the book. I had this big marketing plan, and then honestly, just imposter syndrome and all these things just gripped me. And I was like, who am I to write a book? This is crazy. And right before I got on this flight from Maine back to San Diego, where I had my business and some other work there, someone emailed me and said, hey, I saw your book on Amazon and bought it, super excited for this. And I was like, oh no, I should probably tell people this is out there. But I didn't have enough time. I was just like getting on the airplane. And so, you know, you get on the airplane and something happens when you're in this can moving 500 miles an hour through the air and you don't have access to the world below you, which I didn't. The Wi-Fi was out on this Delta flight. And it's like all of a sudden I felt enclosed with all of my imposter syndrome, all of the things that I was scared of. And I just felt as though I had been, it's like that quintessential scary dream that people have where they're naked on stage in public. That's exactly what it felt like. I felt like I had opened myself up to the world in a way that left me so vulnerable that I was just like, man, I don't know how to handle people engaging with my ideas in a negative way when it really comes down to it, because that's what it is. And so over the time, you know, now I've released my second book and I'm rebuilding that book. And every time I do something, every creative outlet, every project, every endeavor, it's like you're learning more and you want to always transcend but include. You want to transcend the level of life, let's say, that you're at. So you start a new project, that's what you're doing. You're transcending this stagnation that you feel, and you're going toward what you feel called to, and you want to include the best of what you've learned. And so I've started to keep track in my journals of different, like, what I'm calling playbooks of how to write a book and how to podcast and stuff. So if you ever have questions about that, you know, I would love to, you know, like I said, I can give you what not to do. I can tell you about some of the fears that have showed up for me, and I'm just continuing to build this body of work, and you guys, like I said, are kind of getting to look into the arena. And so as I sat on the plane and I felt this imposter syndrome welling up, it's like, you know, anxiety, it's not a slow drip all the time. Sometimes, like it was here, where I felt isolated from the world, vulnerable and naked, and people were going to see my thoughts and they were going to judge my thoughts. I felt like the anxiety was like filling up a Dixie cup with a water hose. Like it just hit the bottom and came rushing over the top, and I really didn't know what to do with it. And it was interesting because I wanted to take the book down, but I was in the air. So for the next 5 hours, I couldn't. And so I just started writing on my computer about what I was feeling. And by the time the plane had landed, I had at least coached myself through some of that imposter syndrome, so I didn't take it down. And that started, I didn't realize, the journey of a lifetime for me, which is learning to become a writer and continuously expose my thoughts to the public. And in light of that, the first sort of bit of advice or insight or wisdom or whatever you want to call it is become really good at objectively scanning your life for what you've learned. You know, so if you are wanting to start a podcast or a show or something, it's like you've learned a ton about this life. You have gone through, you've seen things in unique ways that you know, we're not always taught to prioritize. We're not always taught to prioritize how, you know, we see something. It's like, why doesn't everyone get that? You know, this is something I felt really early on about the rat race, like even referring it to as the rat race. I was always like, well, I'm not a rat and I'm certainly not in a race. I don't understand like why people don't see that they only live one time. It's super short and there's literally no reason not to do it in the way that you feel called to do it. But, you know, I didn't realize, like, you know, everyone else doesn't see that. And so it is, you know, that kind of became the beginning of my platform, was starting to talk about that. And those ideas have evolved and changed. And I've really come back to see the importance of having a stable life as far as that goes. And so my message gets better, because with every project I do, I transcend what I was doing, but I include the best of what was. And I try to do it objectively. So that is to remove your own biases. You know, and as you get that imposter syndrome, oftentimes it's a matter of focus. You know, if you focus on your project, if you focus on your aim, if you focus on your goal, you don't really have time to think about yourself because you're putting your focus on the thing you're doing. But when you turn the lens inward and you become self-aware, and then you start to realize, like, oh, I don't have it in me to do this project, or who am I to do this? Like the imposter syndrome that I was feeling on the plane, you know, that's an indication that you are putting your focus in the wrong place. You know, take it off of the creator and put your focus on the creation, right? That's what you're doing in the world. That's the thing that deserves your attention. And oftentimes, if you can give that your attention, you'll find that it relieves a bit of that imposter syndrome. And this second, or this first point here, become really good at objectively scanning your life for what you've learned. This is how you're going to be able to do that, right? This is how you are going to learn what it is that you already know. And most of us don't have a journaling practice, or they don't see themselves as subject matter experts on anything. And that's a problem, because you're doing stuff every day, right? It's like there are certain things that you're thinking about constantly. So if you add a little structure to those and a little objectivity to remove your own bias, remove the agenda, remove what you think you should be in the world, because that has no place in the world of going after what you truly want, right? What you should be, what you should do, what other people project onto you. you know, give yourself the permission to be misunderstood so that you can get on with doing whatever it is that you're here for in this life, because you'll never have enough of anything. You know, you'll never have enough bandwidth to hold all of the projections that people are going to have of you. So just give yourself permission to be misunderstood so that you can just get on with what you're here to do. Second thing, there are people outside of my building right now replacing the hand railings, and so you're hearing grinders and stuff in the background. Hopefully that's not too annoying, but I don't have a choice in the matter. They're out there banging away. Okay, so second part. So after you become really good at objectively scanning your life for what you've learned, right? And so you could think about, too, this is like the Stoics. This is how Marcus Aurelius has a book called Meditations. Only he didn't write a book. He had a journal to himself. And Meditations is him teaching himself how to be in the world. You know, he's saying, like, put your focus on, you know, the right thing. He's like, realize that you are an infinite person who is going to die just like every single other great world leader has died. And so in light of that, how do you want to be here? And so what he's doing is he's just teaching himself. He's reflecting on his life and putting his focus on the most important parts. And so we can be Stoics in that way to ourselves. And I think an afternoon or evening journaling practice in that way, just sort of breaking down the lessons you have learned, it helps you keep track of your information, and it also shows you how much you really do know. You've got a lot to share with the world. I have no doubt about that. The question is, can you? Can you sit through the imposter syndrome? Can you be objective enough to your own life? Can you learn to stand on the information that you know, right? That's what, at the end of the day, can you trust who you are at the deepest sense of who you are? Second one is get clear on what you're doing and why. So, so when I started Morning Coffee from the Lionheart radio channel, I said, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to share my meditations, right? My reflections of self, my things that I've learned going through the life, being in the military, you know, having a decade of a special forces career, having launched businesses. Like I knew that I wanted to begin to share that stuff. And I knew the reason why is because I look out in the world and everybody is stuck in a cage that isn't locked. You know, for the most part, people are convincing themselves that they're stuck, that they can't pivot, that they can't live a certain way. And at the end of the day, it's like the cage was never locked, right? Your biggest adversary is you. And so I have a real internal drive to free the people that I love, right? And that means too that I've had to feel the pain of people that are stuck. This is a interesting thing to think about, but you know, if you're talking about concepts and stuff, there's a need in the personal development industry to just only talk about what's good, only talk about what's right, only talk about motivation. It's like, why don't we talk about the suffering, right? Because that's real too. That's half of the equation. You know, just like death is half of life's equation, you know, the two are different sides of the same coin. And so, you know, even though that is a temptation, I would say, get clear on your personal why. And then whatever that why is, go where it demands that you go. Right. And so that's what happened. I was like, okay, so if I want to set these people free, you know, first of all, I need to be able to do that to myself. So when I find myself in these self-imposed cages, I need to give myself permission to not have the answers, you know, because that can be a problem too. You have a podcast. It's an intimate connection with your audience in a way that I've not seen any other mediums be, right? It's not radio. It's not segmented. It's not bits of information. It's me talking and you listening. And so that intimacy and that platform often makes people think that you are the expert in things that you're not the expert in. You have to make sure that you have the wisdom and the wherewithal to take a step back and make sure that you stay in your swim lane, right? Because that becomes problematic rather quickly. You see it in life all the time, right? Like, okay, this is a good example of the pandemic. It's like Trump has gotten in a quite a bit of trouble for just running a suck about things that he has no idea about. You know, he's like, oh, I wonder if I could put bleach in a syringe. I wonder if that would work. I wonder if Lysol could inject it somehow. It seems to kill the virus quick. It's like, you know, you couldn't be any further from your swim lane, man. Like, you don't know anything about this. You're not even a little bit, right? Like, you're not even listening to what you're being briefed. And so you get yourself in trouble when you start swimming in someone else's lane. It's like, just because you know some things doesn't mean you know all things. And you have to really be careful that you don't start exercising unearned wisdom, because that's what happens. You get going in the world, and you're going to read books, and you're going to see memes, and things are going to affect you, and you're going to internalize them, and you'll journal about them. And it takes a while for you to own that information and to live on that information and to be the one in the arena applying that information. But if you want to be somebody more than an account that reposts memes, you know, with your projects, with your endeavors, with your life, then you've got to go into the, and you have to do what this third point is that I have for you today, and that is speak from the voice you've earned. That is perhaps the most important thing that I can impart, is that you know, like I said, you've experienced the world in a certain way. You do have lessons, but just because you read something that sounds intriguing, sounds interesting, does not mean that you own that wisdom, right? And you have to be so careful, like I said, with wisdom you didn't earn, because you don't really understand it, you know? And wisdom is dangerous as good as it is safe, you know? It's like the wisdom in the wrong hands, wisdom in the wrong place, it doesn't do the world any good. And so you want to make sure that you're always speaking from the voice you earned. Right before the pandemic, I was on a panel speaking at, I think it was like a Staples or something. I was talking to like a group of managers about, you know, my thing, just being human, how to approach people as humans. And there was a girl who'd been reading my work and following my work for a while. And she asked, like, you know, you've got this brand. How do I do that? Like, how do I start a personal brand? And how do I start down this process of building a life, you know, something like you've built? My first thought was like, I don't know, we should find somebody with a brand and ask them, you know? But then I realized, well, okay, I have been making a living at this for a little bit now. So my advice though to her was, you know, start small and speak from the voice you've earned, you know, and then build your way out from there, and be relentlessly passionate. You know, that's my fourth point, be passionate. But be relentlessly passionate about surveying your own mind, your own information. And that's where that objectivity from point one, become really good at objectively scanning your life for what you've learned, becomes so massively important. Because when you speak from the voice you've earned, what people understand right away is they feel authenticity, because authenticity is resonant, right? It's like truth. Truth is resonant on some levels. You hear something that might be true, you know, you have a sense of being able to follow your own truth because things resonate at like a soul or like a soma at a body level. You feel it. And it's refreshing, right? When you're around people that are authentic and they're speaking their truth, sometimes even if they're like a little crude or a little brash, we still appreciate that, because at least it's not synthetic. At least they're not fake. And so, you know, your message isn't going to be for everybody. And that's something that you should just, like I said, give yourself permission to be misunderstood. What you don't want to do is die with all of your dreams inside of you, having never manifested any of them in the world, because you couldn't stop focusing on the people that your message was not for, right? Your message is for somebody. Now you'll find it. It'll take time to figure out who. The universe will do some of that sorting for you, but just come to grips with that fact so that you can get your work to the people that it's actually for. And so when you speak from the voice you've earned, your voice carries a level of authority, and that authority has a resonant truth with your audience. And so I want to at least impart this idea that if you are being as truthful as you can be and working through your stuff as best as you can, what you're going to realize is that people are drawn to it, the right people. Two more points before we end this. One, content's a long game. I didn't make a single cent off a podcast for 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years, something like that. Maybe I had maybe a little like ad revenue, but not that much, you know. When Morning Coffee on the last channel was fully going, I was making $286 per episode, and I was airing them every day, and they were only 10 minutes long. Or 15 minutes. But it took me so much time of building to get there. And now I've pivoted, right? Because I'm still following something. And so I've had to rebuild that in some sense, and now I'm in the long game again. So just understand, like, this, let it be a passion play for you. Let it be something that you love. But don't expect that you're going to start blogging or start podcasting and making a six-figure income or literally any kind of income right away, because it is a long game. It takes a really long time to build up that trust with your audience. It takes a long time of you being truthful about your experience, you being passionate about the words that you're saying, and you speaking from the voice that you've earned before people know, like, and trust you enough to start giving you money for those things. And so it is a long game. But if you put your heart into it, it will change your life, because something happens, and it in this case doesn't matter. It could be a podcast, because that's what we're talking about today. But if you put your heart into something, it will change your life simply for the fact that it's going to demand all of you. And that's your shadows too. I'm feeling it right now. You know, I've started going to seminary. I'm getting my master's in divinity. I don't know where this road's going to take me. Let me put it that way. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm always going to be a writer and a speaker. And so that's kind of what I tell people. Like, what do you want to do with it? I'm like, well, I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to keep speaking. But I want to explore the divine in a way that I think can be really beneficial for people's lives. And so that's why I'm going there. But man, I will tell you that because I've put my whole heart into this experience, it's bringing everything to the surface, all my shadows, all my guilt, all my projections, all of the shit that we repress and suppress our entire lives will come to the surface if you give this life your all, truly. And that, in the hero's journey, is the metaphorical, like, dip into the underworld, you know? And when you're there, you're going to die. Your ego's going to die. Parts of you are going to die. The most Buddhist advice I could give you is to let those things die. You know, let what's not serving you die in the wreckage of the underworld. And that's how you transcend and include. That's how you keep going. That's how you continue, your projects continue to get better and better. You follow, you get closer and closer to truth, because finding your voice takes just as much time as making money from it, right? It's years of just doing the thing, repetitions over and over. And I still think now, like, even on my maybe 2 out of every 10 podcasts I do I think I really nail my authentic voice. The rest of the time I'm like really sorting through how to find my voice and how to be here. And so that would be my advice for you starting a podcast and really starting any endeavor. So I hope that this one makes a lot of sense for you. I hope you can get a lot of, you know, wisdom from it, whether or not you're going to start a podcast. But I will end by saying, whatever it is that you want to do, write a book, start a podcast, run a marathon, whatever the thing is for you, the next thing, you know, and you know what it is. I don't, you know, I know it is for me, but you know what it is for you. Whatever that thing is, you know, recognize that it's time. We always start the diet on Monday. You know, we always start the workout routine on New Year's. We never started at 9:49 a.m. on a Tuesday, which is when I'm recording this for you, you know, but do that. Start now. Make a commitment to yourself and to the universe that you're going to put your whole heart into this endeavor, and sit back and allow it to change your life. Allow the right struggle to transform you into the person that you're actually here to be. This is your life. It's happening now. It doesn't start on Monday. You know, there might not be a Monday. And that's always true for all people. There are millions and millions of people right now, as I record this on 9:49 a.m. on a Tuesday, that don't have another Monday while they're here. So that's something worth considering. Find your voice. Do the thing. Now's the time. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing Tuesday. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.